Stick to the code, binary like eyes and nose. I'm too exposed, I gotta keep curtains closed. Her body bold, she hid it behind the clothes. I'm in Cabo, I'm hitting his adios. Trying to balance all these up and downs, but I keep popping lows. And it is what it is.
That's just how. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 129 of All In with Kevin. I am your host, Kevin Lewis. Oh, man, it's been a while. I haven't recorded since the Nuggets won the championship. It's just been a combination of things. Just been busy enjoying the summer, been grinding. Yeah, and hasn't been a whole lot to talk about in Yankee land, so it's just been... I've been waiting for Dame to get traded to do an episode on that. I don't know if that's going to happen at this point. But it's been a while. It is August 17th. So you know what that means, especially coming from a fantasy football enthusiast slash degenerate such as myself. It is draft season. Draft season is upon us. And every year I like to do a series of episodes that should help. I'm going to try and narrow it down into one episode this time around. Maybe two. I might do a couple more. But this is the main episode for those of you who don't feel like, you know, following this shit tooth and nail fantasy-wise. Like following training camp reports and reading a whole bunch of, you know, draft guides and this, that, and the third. I've done all of that stuff already. I am mostly prepared for whatever kind of draft. I guess there's stuff that happens, you know, while you're on the clock during drafts that you might not necessarily be wholly prepared for, and there are choices to make, and blah, 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 like once the bullets start flying, all of that. But for those of you who just want a comprehensive look at what to do or how to attack certain things, how to attack positions within certain scoring settings and all of that, I'm going to try and make this episode for you. This is for you. So, ultimately, listen, if we're going to look at draft season this year, ADP is hard to really look at. Average draft position is really hard to look at right now because a lot of that is best ball related stuff and a lot of that is professionals play this stuff. And the type of time they're on and the type of time that me and people of my ilk are on and you know, maybe more casual players are on is different. So it's hard to really take anything out of ADP. But the early takeaways from ADP is that running backs are finally not being pushed up into areas they don't belong in simply because they have RB next to their name on the depth chart. I feel like, and granted, the dead zone stuff still exists, and there are landmines everywhere as far as running back. All the same, I'm not here to argue any of that, but you can still get viable starting running backs in places that you really couldn't before, because all of them were always being pushed up because people were terrified that they didn't want to be left out. So, ultimately, to start at quarterback, though, with regards to this, I don't think having a great quarterback has never really mattered that much until you get to the point where it's like 2019 Lamar, where he's just so much better than everybody else, and you're getting him for nothing, because he was going like around 12 on average that year. And you're getting it for nothing to the point where that affects the end game margin as far as winning. Like that moves the needle. For the most part, outside of that, quarterbacks don't really move the needle because, well, supply and demand, there are typically enough good quarterbacks to go around. And usually the difference between quarterback 1 and quarterback like 9 or 10 isn't that great. Last year was a difference. Like Hurts, Mahomes, and Allen were legitimate like league-winning type of players at quarterback. And the difference between them and everybody else was wider than the difference between the top 3 and everybody else usually is. Now, is that the new norm or is that the outlier? I tend to believe it's the outlier, mostly because, well, one, obviously it happened once, and two, I believe in the next tier. Because I think tier 1 is Hurts, Mahomes, and Allen. I think tier 2 is Lamar, Fields, Herbert, and Burrow. It wouldn't surprise me if tier 2 and tier 1 are relatively similar as far as points go. as far as where they stand goes. Now, as far as how I would attack the position, if you can get Lamar in round five, this is mostly one quarterback discussion. I want to make that clear. Obviously, Superflex and two quarterback leagues, you attack quarterback early and you attack it often, right? I'm just talking about one quarterback leagues in particular, right? So if you can get Lamar in like round five, I think that is the earliest I'm willing to spend on a quarterback. Maybe if you're drafting among the right people, like Jalen Hurts falls around four, maybe. I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening at all. So Lamar, the thing with Lamar is, I already think of all the quarterbacks, he has the highest ceiling from a purely fantasy point standpoint. He has the highest ceiling because he can throw for 3,500 yards, rush for 1,000, and account for like 35 touchdowns. Only him, basically him and Jalen Hurts can do that and nobody else. But Allen doesn't run like that anymore at this point. So I think those two guys are on their own, are in their own tier with regards to ceiling. Now, with Lamar, obviously, he's had pretty significant injuries these are the last 2 years. And he is in a new offense. Now, I think the new offense is going to benefit him. But how long is it going to take to benefit him? Is he going to come in and be a seamless fit? That's typically not how it works. Guys have slow starts, then they come around, blah, blah, blah. So I am personally willing to just bet on the ceiling because I think he has quarterback one ceiling, and I think it's pretty easy to say that. So if he's falling to you in round five, I think you should take it. And for those who might not know by now, running quarterbacks are preferred, especially in 4 point per passing touchdown leagues where – obviously, like rushing touchdowns are worth more. Yeah, the quarterbacks who run are just worth more, generally speaking. That's why none of the guys in the top seven are strictly pocket guys. Like Mahomes not going to get you a ton on the ground, but he'll get you something. But most of them, and I mean Herbert won't get you a ton, but he'll get you something, especially when his ribs aren't hanging from his body, basically like they were last year. So, running quarterbacks are preferred, and. You'll hear a little bit more about that with regard to the next batch of quarterbacks. But outside of Lamar, I think you should probably wait. Geno Smith is a pocket guy that I'm willing to overlook the fact that he doesn't really run. Because if we're going to draft all of them wide receivers where we're drafting them, and all of them hit or come close to hitting, then Geno, chances are his ADP is too low, and chances are he's going to hit too. So that's my argument in favor of Geno. If we're going to Lamar at a discount is probably plan A. If we're going to go with plan B, it's probably some combination of Daniel Jones, Anthony Richardson, and Kyler Murray. Like I could stash Kyler Murray on my IR and wait till he comes back, right? So that's kind of the game plan here, because Jones, in the second year of a new offense, they got him some more weapons. I think the Giants are going to be worse this year, so there's probably going to be more negative game script stuff going against them, which should lead to Jones throwing more in theory, and then also might lead to Jones running more since he scrambles. So, and he's one of the best running quarterbacks in the sport. Anthony Richardson, I think the case is really easy. Now, I think you have to put your feelings aside, how you feel about him as a prospect and how you feel about how he's going to handle the passing side of things in year one. Because let's face it, he's a raw prospect and it might look ugly at times, right? I think that's fair. We could all agree on that. There was some stat I saw the other day. It's like however many quarterbacks, it must have been like 10 quarterbacks or so, ran for at least 800 yards, and like the worst quarterback of those from a fantasy perspective was Daniel Jones last year, who was like ninth. If this kid runs for as many yards as he could, obviously we're assuming and we're hoping he plays the whole slate. That's another problem with Anthony Richardson. And that's why if you're drafting him, you got to draft him with somebody else. If he plays the whole season and he runs for like 800 yards, he's going to be good by default. Because again, to oversimplify this, 20 passing yards is a point, 10 rushing yards is a point. So that's why the running quarterback or part of why the running quarterback is how I approach it at this point and how a lot of people approach it. Like, we the fantasy community has smartened up in that realm. Like, we actively target mobile quarterbacks now.
Apple, Japan, Richmond, New York, Richmond, Florida, Sally, Buffalo, check, hey, Short Ox, Luda Raiders, time out.
I might audible, I'll use brown, right?
Brown, right, orange, purple, black, red, 96, 18, 30.
But in conclusion, I think plan A for you should be Lamar, but it is for me at least. Plan B should be some combination of Jones, Richardson, and Kyler. If you want to avoid Kyler, feel free. You're not going to get much of an argument from me. And Plan C should probably be like Anthony Richardson and like Brock Purdy. Something like that. I forgot Geno. So some combination of Geno, Richardson, and Purdy. Some combination of that should be Plan C. Ultimately, I don't think you have to spend a pick on a quarterback. Obviously, the opportunity cost is what it is, and I don't think they move the needle to that extent. So, there you go. Running back. I think hero running back is the way to go, typically speaking. Now, for those who might not be familiar, hero running back is you take a running back typically within your first two picks. Obviously, Superflex changes that dynamic. It changes the math. But you in one quarterback leagues, you take a running back within your first two picks, and then you kind of wait and play the field as far as bargains, and, you know, you might get you might end up with, like, an undervalued RB2 or an RB2 you think is undervalued, some breakout candidate, whatever the case may be. You might just fill it with a pass-catching specialist and try and fill it later on through free agency, whatever it is. You don't really prioritize who your RB2 is in this. You have the one great back who is the hero, and then the rest of it, you fill in as it goes. Now, I think the running back plan is pretty simple. One of the first nine backs I think you should have on your roster, point blank, period. However it happens, I think you should have one of the first nine. Now, Josh Jacobs is a little bit complicated because, well, I don't know if he's going to play football this year. I don't know how serious he is about this holdout business. So, whatever your risk tolerance is up to you. I don't think he's not going to play because I don't understand what the fuck his leverage is. Him not playing is going to do what for him? I have no idea. But regardless, I think tier one is McCaffrey. Tier two is Eckler. And then tier three is Barkley, Pollard, Chubb, Bijan, Henry, Taylor, and Jacobs. In whatever order you want to put them, it's a tier. I don't really have a strict order here. So I think you should get one of them at the minimum. If for some reason you're in a spot where you can get two of them, you should strongly consider it. Obviously, like, that comes at the cost of taking a wide receiver at that in the early portion of the draft, and I understand if you don't want to do that. But if you could get, if they want to give you Pollard and like Bijan or something like that, you should strongly consider it. You should. And then, you know, at that point, you could just attack a wide receiver for damn near the rest of the draft. So I think one of the first nine is the game plan here. And I don't think there's a big difference between three and nine. I don't. Now, Mixon is in the next tier. And I think he is a priority get. If you could get him for your round three, or maybe in some cases round four selection, because people are kind of over mixing it, and obviously he has potential legal issues going on, I think you should. Listen, I get it. He is declining. I'm not here to argue otherwise. The efficiency stats say what they say, yada, yada, yada. I get all of that. And I get how it could fall all apart from Mixon. But if we're going to go that route, you could talk yourself out of 99% of running backs in football. Every single one of them got something you could look at like, oh, I don't like that. Like, at all of them. So the thing with Joe Mixon is he is pretty much guaranteed volume in one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL. And they throw him the ball a lot now, too. So it's just, and you shouldn't really be able to get that kind of running back where he's going, you know, round three, in a round three, whatever it is. You shouldn't be able to get that kind of running back. So that is a priority get. Outside of that, and mind you, the names I don't mention, I'm not telling you to actively avoid. Just this goes for every single position. Personally, there's no avoids for me. Like, there are avoids that cost, but everybody has a price that makes sense. I'm not telling you to abide by that. Do what you want to do. But I'm just telling you, if you don't hear insert person's name here, that's not me telling you not to draft them. That's just me spotlighting who I want to spotlight for you. So, outside of that, so I covered the high end, and I guess Mixon is kind of a middle tier or upper middle tier guy. Jahmyr Gibbs I like in PPR formats. Running backs who get targeted heavily in the pass game typically exceed expectations. That's always how it's been. That's always how it works, especially when you get points for catches, because in that kind of format, targets are just worth more than carries, period. So Gibbs should, in theory, get a lot of targets. The Lions are kind of talking a good game about David Montgomery, so I do with that information whatever you will. I think there's room for both of them to eat. And the Lions targeted their running backs, I want to say it was at like a top five highest clip last year. They have one of the best offensive lines in the sport. Jared Goff likes to throw to his backs. And they play indoors for whatever, 9 games out of the year, 10. I like Jahmyr Gibbs a lot. I think he should be a consideration around three. Now, these next two guys, to be fair, James Cook is going to be mentioned here. I don't know where he's going to be going by the time drafts actually get rolling. But the other two I'll mention first, James Conner and Rashad White. And I'll put them in the same pile because they're the same kind of player. You're betting on volume here. Like, I think James Conner is a perfectly decent NFL back. Do I think he's anybody's star? No. Do I think he's going to go on anybody's Hall of Fame? No. Do I think he's some elite talent stuck in a bad... No, I just think he's going to get enough volume where you can overlook his warts. Because, again, volume is the name of this game. Unless you're Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry, before he would get the 300 carries a game, or a season, was one of the most ruthlessly efficient running backs of all time. Same with Nick Chubb. Unless you're one of those guys, you're going to need lots of volume. This is not to say that Rashad White and James Conner are both guaranteed top 10 backs if they get the volume they can get. No, because obviously, how many high-value touches are they both going to get considering they're in what's likely to be bad offenses? And how many touchdowns are they going to score? Because, again, they're in likely bad offenses. But getting those guys, this is what I mean by the running back prices are a little bit depressed. In past years, those guys would be going higher because they project to get volume in their running backs, and people panic at that position more than any. And to be fair, I get it because it's the most important position. The slight pushback I'll give and how I've pretty much always approached this is I don't think running back two production matters that much. Like, there's not, if you look at it historically, look at it every year, go to Fantasy Pros and sort it if you must. The difference between like running back 15 and running back 30 is just not that much. It's not. It's really, really not. Like, you want to talk about 10, running back 10 and running back 11, fine. Okay, cool. But like, chasing running back 2 production just isn't it. It doesn't matter that much. So that's part of the reason I am naming specific guys, because I think those guys can be RB1 or lower RB1 types. Like Rashad White, the Tampa executive really like him. He comped favorably to David Johnson coming out the draft, and David Johnson was a pass catching machine. They think the world of the guy. He doesn't have much competition. I don't even know who the Bucs backup is off the top of my head. Oh yes, Chase Edmonds. Yeah, Rashad White has the job pretty much locked down. He just has to not be awful enough to get run off the field or get hurt. And if he does, he might default his way into a top 15 season. Could be if the Buccaneers for some reason are better than we expect. Not going to hold my breath on that one. Then Rashad White becomes a screaming value where he's going. So Connor, White, Gibbs, I think should be priorities. especially the latter two, because you can get them way later. James Cook, I'm not sure exactly where his ADP is going to rise to by the time this is all said and done. But Buffalo seems to, is talking a good game with regards to him. He seems to be the primary back. What that really means, I don't know. What, like, is he going to get 55% of the touches? I don't know. Like, I don't know what he's going to get. But if he's going to catch, if he's going to be the guy taking most of the snaps, and he's going to catch some passes in one of the league's most explosive offenses, he's probably going to, he's probably going to smoke past his ADP.
Smoke weed every day.
Am I willing to aggressively bet on James Cook in that fashion? Probably not. But, you know, doing the work and doing the rankings for myself and for others made me realize I probably should just rank James Cook over those guys, because if I don't and I follow my ranking sheet, I'm probably never going to get him. So I probably should just rank him over the White Connor tier, or not tier. Those two are not in this, and the only ones in that tier. But you get the point. I should probably rank Cook ahead of them. But I think those three are the main targets outside of the top nine and or Joe Mixon. The Eagles backfield, I think you should probably get somebody out of there, because Gainwell looks like he projects to be the main backup. And I don't know if Swift, I don't know how many touches Swift is going to project to get. I have no idea. Rashad Penny, I don't even know if Rashad Penny is going to make the team. Like, that's how they're making it sound. So drafting one of them is probably for the best. Just good luck with which one. Maybe you should just draft the cheapest one and be done with it. Maybe that's the way to go about this. I would draft Kenny Gainwell. If DeAndre Swift falls to the right spot, I don't mind drafting him either. I don't know about the ceiling here, because I don't think he's going to get the lion's share of the touches. He is a really gifted pass catcher, and he's gifted in the open field. Yes, he has his problems. Yes, he is a home run hitter. He's not durable, yada, yada, yada. I think NFL teams are kind of taking a three true outcome approach to running backs these days, where they don't mind the 1 yard and the 0 yards, and you might not get 5 yards out of a play, you get two instead, because they're getting lots of home runs. But I think that's how they view it these days, and I think Swift is kind of the poster boy for that. So who knows what that means in fantasy. But drafting one of the Eagles backs, if they fall to the right spot, is probably advisable. And like, your bench should be full of high upside of handcuffs. Like, not your own handcuffs, but other people's handcuffs, because that's more valuable in the event of an injury. Like the Charbonnets of the world, the Samaje Perines of the world, Jalen Warren, Khalil Herbert, even though I don't know if he's a high handcuff, he's a starter as of now. Tank Bigsby, Tyler Allgeier, Gus Edwards, on down the line. Those kind of guys. Well, ultimately, I put the spotlight on CMC and Eckler for obvious reasons. Barkley, Pollard, Chubb, Bijan, Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Joe Mixon, Jahmyr Gibbs, Rashad White, James Conner, James Cook. And then I talked about the handcuffs. But the backs mentioned before the handcuffs, like, getting two of them, I think you'll be in okay shape. Maybe you get three of them depending on how the board falls. Wide receiver this year, I kind of feel like it's just a go-by-the-book kind of situation. Like, you could just pull up a ranking sheet and just follow the ranking sheet all the way down. Now, in PPR league, in full-point PPR leagues, maybe you're a little bit more aggressive at wide receiver. Maybe, like, you leave the first three rounds with two wide receivers, stuff like that. Maybe that's what it is. But it's just the first three tiers are basically stone-cold number one wideouts. And everything after that is kind of just either guys with warts or really high upside number twos, like, you know, the D. Higgins and the Devontae Smiths of the world, even though I'm not at all concerned about Devontae Smith's target share or his volume or what. I'm not concerned about that. He's going to be really good. I'm not concerned. But the fact of the matter is, as of today, he is our number two wide receiver. That could change. Like, Devontae's damn good at football. But, you know, the first three tiers is like, all right, the God tier, tier one, Jefferson, Cup, Hill, and Chase. Nothing needs to really be said about those guys. Tier 2, Diggs, A.J. Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Tier 3, Wilson, Adams, Waddle, Lamb. Well, Waddle's technically a number two, but his high end is so good. And as somebody who embraces volatility, I love Jalen Waddle in fantasy. Yes, he's not going to get a ton of targets, but he might fuck around and get you a 4 for 200. Like, that's possible. So I feel like you could take a by the book approach to this. PPR, if you in full point PPR, if you want to leave with three wide receivers in the first four rounds, go ahead. As far as like potential undervalueds to point at, I mean, I think everybody's kind of valued fairly. I don't really think there are that many values that stand out. I think Calvin really, we might look back and think, hey man, we really overthought this shit. Because he hasn't played football in 2 years. There's this, that, that. Listen, I understand all the concerns. He's in a new offense, blah, blah, blah. I've watched that man run routes before. I don't think it's going to be that complicated for him. And when he was healthy, the last time he was fully healthy and playing, like, he was a top 5 to 10 guy. I don't think, maybe he's the only guy I could really look at, like, yo, I really see a world where he blows his fucking ADP out of the world. Oh, you know what? That's a lie. He's not the only one. Tyler Lockett, he's an auto pick. Unless you take DK Metcalf. Obviously, if you take DK Metcalf or Jaxon Smith and Jigba later on, that's off the board because you don't really want two Seattle wide receivers. If that's what you want to avoid. I typically avoid that kind of stuff, right? Tyler Lockett has been, I want to say he hasn't finished worse than like wide receiver 16 in like 5 years. And he's getting picked at wide receiver like 30 right now. Every year we do this. Now, at least in this case, you have, hey, they drafted a wide receiver who might cut into his snaps or his targets. At least there's a valid reason to undervalue him this time around. And even still, I'm blowing past it because he's still really fucking good at football. And he still has those spike weeks that I like, that I cherish. Because I like volatility. I don't think consistency is a real thing in fantasy football. I don't, for the most part. Yes, quarterbacks are kind of consistent. And even them, they have duds. Nobody's really consistent. It's just, yeah, some are more inconsistent than others. Understood. Everybody has duds. And everybody has duds at the worst possible time at times. That's just how this goes. But Tyler Lockett, undervalued. He's an auto pick in like round 6 of a 12-team league or so. Like, because for some reason, he's always left around to pick. So, yeah, Tyler Lockett, undervalued. Deontay Johnson is a target hog. He should be mentioned here. He's undervalued a little bit. George Pickens, I'm starting to warm up to him a little bit because they seem to be ready to let Kenny Pickett throw the ball around a little bit. And he's, from everything we got at camp, it seemed like he's developing well. And George Pickens is just a freak athlete. And Pickett and Pickens together last year were productive when George was targeted with the ball. So I'm starting to be more open to that. Outside of that, only one real piece of advice. I think you should leave the draft with a Chiefs wide receiver. Now, I get it. Everybody's tired of Kadarius Toney. Tired of hearing about Kadarius Toney. Tired of seeing Kadarius Toney. Tired of drafting Kadarius Toney. I get it. And I can't even argue with you. I understand why you would be. I totally get it. The talent is still there. Sky Moore is not as talented, but He's a potential every down wide receiver playing for the Chiefs. And I get it. People just, they want to draft Travis Kelce. They want to ignore everybody else. Shit, I understand that. I will say the counterpoint is Juju, who can't separate, basically, and has one good knee, was like wide receiver 19 before he got absolutely walloped in that game by the Jaguars player, and he got concussed. He was wide receiver like 19 right before that point. And Tony and Moore are going like round 9, round 10 on average right now. It costs very little to find out. Because at this point, these guys are, for the most part, bench players. Like, they are bench players. They're bench players. It doesn't cost much to find out whether they can ball or not. So ultimately, I kind of feel like you could color in between the lines of this position, make yourself a ranking sheet. Just go by whatever you prefer. Or keep it organized. Go after whatever you prefer. Go after the young dudes. Whatever. It's not hard. Also, Garrett Wilson to the moon. That is all. Tight end, I feel like, is the easiest one because there's one of three ways I'm trying to handle this. Draft Travis Kelce. That is actually not the preferred option this year. believe it or not. It's not. Draft Travis Kelce. It's never really failed me, because Travis Kelce has been, he's given you top-end running back position at tight end, which is amazing. It's an amazing luxury, because if you can fill in around him, you'll win lots of championships that way, and I have on the back of Kelce, right? But, like, I think Darren Waller going around 6 on average, whatever, that is my favorite button to click, because I think the difference between him and Andrew just isn't that big to me. That's just how I feel about it. I think Waller has every bit as much upside as Andrew does. And Andrew did a lot of his best work without Lamar in the first place.
Feel me? I heard motherfuckers saying they may ho. May ho say okay.
Like, and I'm not saying the Giants are going to be the Chiefs. Let me make myself loud and fucking clear about that. I'm not saying that. What I will say is, the usage in their passing game might be similar to the Chiefs. It might be Waller and then everybody else, you know, fighting, getting in where they fit in. So, I love Darren Waller in round 6. Like, I plan to have a ton of him. I'm not worried about anybody else. Like, Andrews, I'm out on. Hockenson, I'm not going to tell you to be out on him. I'm out on him. He's boring to me. And the thing is, a lot of his production last year came in 2 games against the Giants. So I'm out on him. Kyle Pitts, I understand if you want to do it. Kyle Pitts runs a 4-3 and he's like, what, 6'6"? He plays. I get it. If you want to bet on Desmond Ridder just not being dog shit, because that's the only thing that really needs. That's the only thing Kyle Pitts really needs. If Desmond Ridder's not dog shit and they don't run the ball 85% of the time, Kyle Pitts is going to hit. So, if that's what you want to bet on, I'm never going to tell you not to. I love betting on receiving tight ends who move that way. So I get it. But I'm not really interested outside of that. And I guess Avenue 3 is take 2 of the young tight ends. I like Okonkwo. Dolchich, the usage is a little bit concerning there, so I'll probably hold back on that one. Gerald Everett is not young, but he's in this category. Luke Musgrave, like, lots of good things coming out of camp about Luke Musgrave. And Tyler Higbee's not young, but I'll throw him in here as well. So 2 of those guys. And then if one of them hits, great. If neither one of them does, okay, you're in the basement just like damn near everybody else had the position any fucking way. So you might as well, so you could just stream at that point. But so to recap at tight end, the three avenues I'm going to take, or I suggest for you to take. Kelce, avenue 1. Waller in round like 5 or 6, avenue 2. Or 2 of the Okonkwo, Dolchich, Everett, Higbee, Laporta, Musgrave grouping. 2 of them. And call it a day. Defense, just find a random ranking sheet, pluck it, and just use it. Kicker, same thing. It doesn't matter that much who your defense and your kicker, especially your fucking kicker. Kickers don't matter. And leave them out of your fucking fantasy leagues. We are all adults. Let's play like adults. Keep kickers out of your fucking fantasy league, please. But anywho, as I said earlier, Superflex changes all of that. You want to attack quarterback. I think this was a good, productive episode. I think if you're one of those who just wants a one-stop shop for fantasy info, I think this was good for you. I think it was productive. I enjoyed recording it. And, you know, if you have any questions, I'm assuming if you listen to this, you know where to contact me. You know my @ on all the socials, KLEW24. Some of y'all got my phone number. Just, if you have any questions, just holler at me. That's it for me. Check me out on the Middle Initial Podcast with myself, Andrew L. Case, and Jude A. Jackson as we discuss current sports topics. Check me out on Underdog Fantasy. We are currently doing a baseball show. We recorded our first episode today. This is being recorded on August 17th. I recorded that earlier with my good friend Coley Mick. That should be out Friday, Monday. I'm not sure exactly when it will be out, but it'll be out soon. Either way, look out for that. That's it for me, man, and I'll see you when I see you.
Hear me clearly. If y'all niggas fear me, just say y'all fear me.